of God. Now, we're going to keep Lydia busy today. We were thinking about some testimonies just to do, and Lydia said to me, "It would be lovely to have a testimony, you know." And I said, "Well, excellent. Why don't you come and testify?" So always be careful what you suggest. I might get you to come and do it. So we're glad to have Lydia here this morning, and we trust the Lord will bless you, dear, as you bring your word of testimony.
I think the only other time that I've been up here at the front was also a Christmas Sunday, and that was when my husband here kindly asked me and Micah to join him singing, and I hope this will be better than our singing that Sunday. Well, I feel very privileged that the reason I'm standing here this morning is because I have a testimony to give. And as I speak here this morning, I don't want you to look at me and think of what a wonderful life I have. I want you to look at me and see what the Lord has done for me, because my testimony is all about what the Lord Jesus has done in my life. I am unworthy of any grace and mercy that the Lord has shown to me, yet the Lord has given unto me grace and mercy which is unmeasurable. I want to just begin by reading a verse from the Bible, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's the verse 16, and it says, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And Paul in this book was writing to the young Timothy, and he said, what he says to Timothy here, it really just sums up my upbringing as a child. From my very earliest days, I knew the scriptures, knew this Bible, was taught it everywhere, and it in turn made me wise unto salvation. I had one of life's greatest blessings, and that was of being born into a Christian home. Both my mummy and daddy were saved, and they loved the Lord, and they were involved in the work of the church. And I was brought faithfully along to Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church, and we went to every meeting. We were twice there on a Sunday. We were at the children's meeting. We were at Sunday school, and we even went to the midweek prayer meeting with Mum and Dad. And, you know, if being brought up in a Christian home could save you, and being taught the things of God could save you, I was guaranteed a place in heaven. But that is not the case, because the Lord has said in his word that there is none righteous, no, not one. And although I had a very godly upbringing and I lived a very clean lifestyle, I was still a sinner condemned before a just and a holy God. And I needed the Lord to change my life and to take my sins away. And I remember going to many gospel missions with my mum and dad, and as I heard preachers preaching about heaven and hell, I would sit in the meeting and I would have been scared of going to that awful place called hell. And I remember coming out of meetings, or even in meetings, sitting and praying a wee prayer and saying, "Lord, save me." I didn't want to go to hell. And I remember as a child on many occasions asking God to save me in meetings. But as I grew up into my early teens, I didn't have a desire for the things of God. I didn't want to read my Bible. The friends I chose at school were the worst of the friends at the Christian school I went to. I had a privilege of going to a Christian school, and although the company was never that bad, I chose the worst company that I could. And I just had no desire for the things of God. But that was all going to change. In April 1993, the Lord began to really work in the school I went to, and there was a lot of pupils there who got right with God. They knew they needed to be saved, and they got right with God. God in mercy saved them. And I bless the Lord that he didn't pass me by, because there's still some people that went to the school I know today, and they still do not know the Lord. They're out in the world and they have no time for God. And I am so thankful that the Lord didn't pass me by. And he took a dealing with my heart and showed me that I needed to change. There needed to be a change in my heart, that it was no good just having a wee profession, having prayed a wee prayer as a child. I needed God to come and change my heart. And one afternoon when I went home from school, I went into my room and I got down on the floor and I cried and cried to the Lord to save me and to change my heart if I never was saved as a child. And, you know, I got up from the floor, I went out of my room, and I didn't feel any different. I just didn't feel saved, as I thought. And I remember Dad, when he came home from work, he opened God's word and showed me that God had promised in the Bible that if you ask God to save you, that he will save you. And it was after that that my burden lifted, and I was just happy that the Lord had saved me. And the Lord really changed me, because for the first time in my life, I started praying for my friends that weren't saved. The first time in my life, I wanted to read the Bible. For the first time in my life, I wanted Christian friends. And the Lord had done that change. It was nothing to do with me. And I'm thankful that the Lord saved me. And I remember even going to church and opening the hymn book, and for the first time in my life realizing that the words in the hymn book actually meant something, that when I was singing, I could mean the words instead of just getting up and just reading from a book and not really meaning what I was singing. Well, it was the Lord that had put that new song in my heart. And I wish I could say that things continued like that. But it didn't. It wasn't long after that that I was about to begin to go down on a very, very long pathway of doubt and confusion. For a long, I think it was 15 years, I began to doubt, and the doubts got worse and worse as the years went on. I began to doubt if the Lord had really saved me. And questions just came into my head. What if this Bible isn't real at all? What if it's all just a made-up story? What if I hadn't actually been sorry for my sins, really deeply sorry? What if I hadn't been sorry enough? What if my faith wasn't real faith in the Lord? And questions like this, what if I wasn't elect? What if God hadn't really chosen me to make me his own child? And what if my motives for asking the Lord to save me weren't right? And just doubts like this and many, many more flooded my soul. And I have to say, those years of doubt were the darkest days of my life. God seemed very, very far away from me. And many evenings I would read for hours and hours books on how to get assurance of salvation, advice for seekers. I would just read and pray, and I just could not believe that I was saved. I just could not find assurance. And many evenings I would just cry myself to sleep and pray, and I just could not find assurance. And things had got so bad that I actually wish I had never been born. I just thought, I wish I'd never been brought into this world, because I cannot be sure that I'm saved. And it just was turmoil to my mind. And my mum and dad at that time became very concerned for me, because I wasn't eating properly, I wasn't sleeping properly, and I wasn't hardly fit to go to work. I always went to work, but I was just so exhausted many mornings from just my mind being in turmoil. And I'm very thankful for godly counsellors. And my dad had a very good friend who is in the ministry, the Reverend Lindsay Wilson, and he suggested that I go and see a Christian doctor. And the advice and counsel that Christian doctor gave me was the way that God would choose to bring me out of this turmoil of doubts. And it was the advice he gave me and listening to a sermon over and over again preached by the Reverend Wagner on that verse in the Bible, looking unto Jesus. I was able to get away from looking into my own heart and wondering, was I good enough, to looking at the Lord Jesus. And it is only him that can save. And I got my eyes off myself, and I seen that the Lord Jesus was sent into this world as the perfect substitute for my sins, that nothing I had done and would gain any merit with God, that it was Jesus Christ alone. And that is where I stand today. I continually look to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can save. And my assurance of salvation did come. And I'm glad to say today that I know I'm saved, not because of anything I've done, but because the Lord Jesus says in Revelation, "Whosoever will," it's one of my favourite verses in the Bible, "whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." It's for everyone here today. He says that if you will, he has promised to save you. If you come to him, if you will have him to be your saviour, he is freely offered for you. And I don't have great faith. I doubt the Lord many times, and I'm prone to worry and anxiety many times, but I need to always focus on Christ, and we all need to focus on the Lord. And he says, the psalmist David says in Psalm 62, verse 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation," and that's my testimony. The Lord Jesus, he only is my rock and my salvation. And the Lord has blessed me in so many ways that I'm undeserving of his mercy and grace and all the blessings he showers us with. And I would take the opportunity while I'm up here at the front and to say just thanks for everyone in this congregation that prays for us as a family. We are blessed beyond all measure through your prayers for us. And I just want to thank you for that. Amen.
Thank you very much, dear, for your word of testimony. It's always a great privilege to have a wife who is walking with the Lord. I'm also thankful for the goodness of the Lord in providing me with a wife who is a blessing to us and an encouragement to us. And we trust the Lord, Lydia. Trust the Lord will continue to bless you, Lydia, as you proceed to walk with God. And you know, while I was listening to Lydia's testimony, obviously I'm familiar with it, but you never know what's behind a face or a person. I don't know if you were aware of all Lydia's doubts and wrestlings and all the rest of it, but you never know the journey that someone's going through. We can come into church, you might meet a Christian, and you assume everything's well with them. It may not be the case. There's battles, there's strife, there's trouble, every one of us. And so I want to encourage you to pray for one another, that the Lord will give us grace to encourage each other and to serve one another.